Welcome to Catholic Conversations. This is your host, Adrian Fonseca. And today I will be talking with Gabriel Castillo with True Faith TV and Gabby After Hours.
Gabby After Hours,
is it
actually.
Gabby After Hours? Gabby.
It's short for Gabriel in Spanish. If you knew Spanish,
oh my gosh.
Gabby is short for Gabriel.
Gabby?
Not Gabby.
It sounds like Gabby. Well,
you're forgiven.
Or Gabby. But today I'll be talking
all three are not good. Gabby, Gabby, or Gabby. Those aren't all good names anyways. So it's a lose-lose.
Well, anyway, I'll be talking to Gabriel Castillo today about the rosary, his conversion story, and some other things such as the stories of the rosary, the promises of the rosary. It's going to be a very Marian episode. So I will send you into that episode right now. So, Mr. Castillo, where did you start off as? Like, how? What kind of person were you growing up? What kind of family did you live in? And we're going to move towards how you became to this promoter of the rosary.
So, I started off my faith life by being a lapsed Catholic, I guess you could say, or not Catholic. My mom was culturally Catholic. I am a single child from a single parent. I didn't have my father growing up. I didn't meet him till much later. And I grew up in the world. My mom did the best she could, but I grew up being raised on MTV. I grew up being raised in public school. And so I fell into all the sins that the world promotes. And when you're a young person looking for meaning in your life, you generally try to fill that void with things that cannot fulfill it. And so I did not make my first communion until I was in middle school, only because my grandmother, who was very pious, died, and I felt like I had a moral obligation at the very least to do something church-related. But then after middle school, there was no religious upbringing whatsoever. And when high school came around, especially around the junior or senior year, I was doing very good in high school because I went to a very bad high school, so it wasn't very difficult to be very good. I was in the top 1%, but not because necessarily because I was trying hard, but because the standard was so low. But I applied to several universities. The first university that got back to me was University of St. Thomas, and I had a presidential scholarship. So I took it, and I kind of mocked the idea that I would be taking ethics classes, and I would joke around and say, ethics is so dumb. What are they going to tell me? Don't kill people. And I realized when I started taking the philosophy courses and the introduction to theology with Dr. Randy Smith that all of this made sense. The philosophy wasn't a joke. The theology was backing up the philosophy. It was in line with my experience from human reason. I had a great understanding from high school that no matter how hard I tried to be good, that I couldn't. Like I saw that I was doing things that was damaging my mother's heart. I was not treating her very respectfully. I was hurting other people in my life, and I didn't want to. And I had a strong sense that there's something wrong with me and there's something wrong with all human beings. And in the high school philosophy, they had taught that tabula rasa, like we're all a clean slate, and that you are the product of your upbringing and your product of—
You learned that where?
At Elsick High School.
Oh, okay. In middle school.
In high school. Yeah.
Okay.
It's different philosophies and things. So I was like, that doesn't sound right because
it doesn't take account original sin.
Original sin. And that's what really struck. That was one of the first things that stood out to me was concupiscence. I was like, that explains why I'm so messed up. But I still wasn't taking it very seriously. It wasn't until a retreat experience where—
So how did you get, like, how did you get going on this retreat? Like, who dragged you into this retreat? Because it doesn't sound like you're the kind of person that have been like, I'm all psyched to go on a retreat.
Well, a couple of things happened before that. So first, again, I hadn't been going to church, but a girl died. She was in environmental studies, and she was killed in a car accident. And I don't know if she was Catholic or not, but they had like a service for her in the Chapel of St. Basil. And I had not been in a church, and I had avoided going into the chapel at University of St. Thomas. And when I went in, I just started bawling, not because the girl cried, but because I knew that that's where I belonged. Like, I belonged in church. It even makes me kind of tear up now thinking about it. that it took somebody's life to get me to go into a church, even just to get there.
Did you get married at the Chapel St. Basil?
I did, yes. So what a story. But
okay, but,
well, so all of my naughty friends that I made at the University of St. Thomas, because although it is a good Catholic school, it's good if you want to be good, but it can also be a bad place if you want to be bad. And so I hung out with some of the kids who were doing naughty things, so to speak. They were on drugs and drinking a lot. And a couple of them went to get confirmed, and I'm not quite sure why. And so I thought to myself, well, if these guys are getting confirmed and they're barely Catholic, I'm barely Catholic as well. So I too should get confirmed. I too should take that next step.
Oh, okay. So you're doing the RCA at UST.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes. Okay. And so one of the things that they strongly encouraged was to go on a retreat. And I remember going with a young lady. Her name was Fatima, actually.
Oh, wow.
And so she was, but when I say we went out with a young lady, I mean that she also was in my similar circle of friends, mm-hmm. not Catholic, going on this retreat, not knowing the other people who were in campus ministry, going. And then I personally had a very profound experience in adoration. It wasn't like, you know, I saw the face of God or anything, but something deep. God touched my heart in an extraordinary way, and I knew that he was really present in the Eucharist. And she did not have that experience that I'm aware of, but it deeply changed my perception. I really knew that that's God. And so I would do things like that. I would go to the chapel at St. Basil all the time. I'd do my homework there. It really changed me, although I was still a bad, big-time sinner, in my opinion. So it didn't change my behavior other than doing stuff in the chapel all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah. And actually, Dr. Rebar, the great Dr. Rebar, is the one who helped me in adoration because I didn't even know what adoration was or Eucharistic adoration was. He gave me advice about repeating the holy name of Jesus and looking at the Eucharist, because I was like, how do you do this adoration? And it was his advice, I think, that it made all the difference. I could have gone in there and just sat and not tried.
But yeah, absolutely. I think I highly recommend people go and look up on your channel the video on adoration, Holy Name of Jesus. You talk about that a little bit. Wow. There. And
you've done your homework. Wow.
And so the idea of adoration and what adoration really is. You can go back, and I have an episode on a personal relationship with Jesus in adoration. You often hear from our Protestant brothers and sisters things like, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And that whole idea. And so many Catholics don't, which is absurd, because we actually have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ here in adoration at the church that we're in right now, St. Teresa's. They have perpetual adoration. We have perpetual adorations all over the place. And these are places where you can go and meet face-to-face with Christ, with the Lord of the universe. And how many of us take advantage of it? Too little. Yeah. Yeah. But from there, where did you go? How did you get a hold of the rosary? Where did this come from?
So I I can see it now as like the hand of divine providence allowing bad things to happen to me and kind of guiding me. But I had had my backpack stolen and all my books and all my assignments were stolen. And I didn't get any sympathy from any teachers, and I was having a pretty horrible day. And I was actually, again, and it's very providential how powerful the influence Dr. Rebard has been in many people's lives. But I was in Dr. Rebard's class. I don't remember which class it was, maybe metaphysics. And he's like, Gabriel, where's your assignments? Like, everybody's turning their paperwork in. And I was like, I don't have it. And I didn't give him an explanation. He said, please see me after class. And I was like, oh, here it goes. Another teacher's in the lane to me for being irresponsible. And he didn't. And I don't know how he or why, but he—
because it's not exactly unlike him to not drill into someone.
I don't know.
So, yeah.
And he had something in his hand, and I thought it was pretzels. Like, I just saw something brown in his hand, and he had a handful of it. So I was like, is this guy eating pretzels? And he's about to, like, yell at me. But instead, he said, I got something for you. And I was like, okay, I'm getting pretzels now. But in his hand was a rosary, a brown rosary. And he says, I think you need to start praying this. And he said that he had it blessed by John Paul II, that he went to a general audience. He'd just gotten back from Rome. And that was a big shocker, and that made a huge impact on me. And I prayed the rosary a little bit starting then. And I was hungry. So I was very
for pretzels.
I was hungry, yeah, for pretzels. But I wanted formation. Like I wanted mm-hmm. to be good. I was still doing very bad things. It's funny because I just remembered I had actually broken up with my girlfriend at the time because she wasn't Eucharistic enough. Like I was like, you say you love the Eucharist, but you don't go to Mass. But I was such a hypocrite because I was like the worst sinner. So like maybe she could have pointed back and been like, well, if you weren't a mortal sinner all the time, maybe I would take the faith more seriously.
Oh my gosh.
But it's just a weird turn of events. But the rosary, yes. That's when I started to change, definitely. I can see that my life began to be more reformed when I had the structure of meditating on the life of Christ regularly. And I had a holy woman in my life guiding me, the Virgin Mary, obviously.
Wow. And from there, you said, how did you get to starting this apostolate of promoting the rosary, going around traveling, speaking, and making videos on the rosary? How did that happen?
I became a religion teacher. So I graduated from the University of St. Thomas with a theology degree and a BA in math. And my original intention was to become an engineer or even a lawyer. But I feel, looking back on it now, that the Lord allowed me to fail miserably in engineering because I got D's, although I was very good in science and math in high school. And I was only getting A's in theology. And so I really didn't have an option but to become a teacher. And I knew what I was struggling with, you know, with lust, with peer pressure, with all sorts of temptations. And I knew what it took for me to not habitually be living in sin. And so if that is what it took for me, and I consider myself the, you know, the archetype of what it means, what a man is, I'm like the typical guy. So I was like, that's what my students need. And so when I was teaching, I was really hammering home, you know, going to confession, receiving Holy Communion, praying at least one rosary every day. And then I went on a retreat. This is just too much of too many things to explain, but I went on a retreat and I met a very holy priest and I gave a general confession of my entire life. And he said, you've done a lot of very bad things. And I said, yeah, and I was in tears the whole time. I was like, yes, Father, I have. He's like, don't you think you should make reparation for all the sins that you have committed and all the people that you've led astray? And I said, yes, I think reparation would be good. He's like, this isn't your penance, but I encourage you to pray all of the mysteries of the rosary every single day for an entire year in reparation to make up for all of the sins you've committed and in asking Our Lady to give grace to all the people that you've hurt and led astray. And so I said, I'll do, I was very contrite. So it was the perfect time to get me to commit to something. And so at that, he was, like I said, he was the man, in my opinion, is a living saint. And so I said, yes. And he also, at that point, that's where I got the inspiration to never receive Holy Communion in the hand ever again. He was a canon lawyer. He had worked with Cardinal Ratzinger. And so I took his advice on that. He also recommended that I kneel for Holy Communion and really put Jesus as number one and to really start whatever it is that we say we believe, like act like it. And then that's when the flood of grace will start to, you know, explode in your life. So I was teaching at this Catholic school, and I noticed that I was making big progress. I ended up taking a job for whatever reason at a church, and I saw that my students were going off to high school, and it was almost as if all of the hard work that I had spent teaching them for 2 or 3 years in middle school was wasted because of they were just like, I threw them to the wolves. Mm-hmm. And so some of them said, you know, you should put the teachings from your class. A lot of your students would love to see you make, you know, videos. And I said, nah, not going to happen. But here at St. Teresa's, a good youth minister that I had been working with, because my job was evangelization and his was youth ministry, asked if I would make a video for his youth and he would just show it to them. And I said, sure. And then I made one for them. And then he was like, that was great. The kids loved it. And so I put it on the internet. And then that's kind of how I got started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And it's amazing because that's grown so much.
Yes.
I look at looking at your YouTube channel the other day, and I was like, wow, it's amazing how many people are being touched by this apostolate. And you go through the comments and you can read and you're like, oh, my goodness, look at these. So many people have had such great conversions,
yeah.
Due to Our Lady and, in part by, the things that you're saying about Our Lady.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny because the views are low. I consider the views to be low compared to the world and compared to more popular YouTube Catholic YouTubers. But the conversions and the fruit is like extraordinary. So I don't know how or why, but like when you meet somebody who watches my videos, like they're different than people who don't. Like they're mm-hmm. like they're radicals. I'm good at radicalizing people. But again, it's not me. So the fruit is always from the prayer life. So mm-hmm. daily mass, visits to the Blessed Sacrament every day, praying at least all the mysteries of the rosary every day. And I pray and I ask the Lord, okay, what is it that you want? So my goal in life is to make the videos that the Virgin Mary wants, to make a website that the Virgin Mary wants. And sometimes I'm struggling with her because I have my own wants and my own desires. And she's like, whose is this? It's yours, Blessed Mother. And really, it's just the winning formula. Like, I think it's the Eucharist and Mary. Like,
well, it's pretty insane because you look at the amount of people that you touch through your apostolate and compare it to like the people that some of the great saints were able to get reach. And yes. you can reach so many people at a larger distance with significantly less at work. Yes. You don't have to walk across the entire country.
I'll tell you a story that I had actually just told you right before we started filming that I hadn't told anybody before. I had won a film contest. There's so many things that actually led to videos. So I had wanted to buy a very expensive camera to make a movie for the Lord, and I didn't know how to make movies. I didn't know that it required a lot of other equipment. I thought I just needed a camera. And so I had told my wife that if for some reason we got a large sum of money out of nowhere, that I would be spending it on film equipment. And my wife was like, sure, yeah, whatever. You're not going to get a large sum of money out of nowhere. Okay, just get that through your head. Well, at our wedding, we went to the reception at the Doubletree Hotel, and everybody at the entire wedding got food poisoning.
Oh, my God.
And it was funny because I have the habit of kissing the feet of Mary whenever they're available. So our wedding was at the Chapel of St. Basil. So there's Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. So it's easy to kiss her feet. And she crushes the head of the serpent. And somebody had said, oh, the serpent didn't like when you kissed Mary's feet in front of all of, because my wife's family is non-Catholic. So they're thinking like I'm an idolater.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I can see why. If anybody can be accused of idolater, it's us, right?
Yeah, probably.
We love Our Lady so much. But it was funny that Our Lady, you know, used an illness to get me money to buy my first camera, but I didn't know what I was doing, so I essentially wasted that money. I bought like a huge thing, and I was like, all right, time to make movies. And it was right before this huge technological, you know, breakthrough. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I used that camera to make a video called The Sacrament of Divine Mercy, and I entered into a film contest, and I won $4,000, and the runner of the contest said, hey, will you come with us to Spain? And I was like, yeah, I don't know if you know this. I'm taking the money. I'm not going to World Youth Day as my prize. You could choose $4,000 or a trip to World Youth Day. I said, 100%, give me $4,000. And then she says, will you please come to World Youth Day and document the event for us? And I was like, no, I'm taking the money. I was like, let me be very clear. The only way that I will go to World Youth Day is if you give me the money and the trip. And she did.
That's hilarious.
Well, I know. God bless her.
You're very stingy. Well,
I was only doing this for one reason. And so one of the days at World Youth Day, it was in Madrid this time, and a lot of miraculous things, very providential things I had encountered. But one of the things was one day I was in the chapel of St. Dominic, and I didn't realize that it was his church. And I'd gone to Mass there, and I was just looking for a Mass. And I was praying before his statue, and I felt an interior voice, and again, I would take this with a grain of salt. I could have been hallucinating. People accuse me of having a Messiah complex. Maybe, I don't know. But I felt an interior movement coming from inside my soul, and I felt like it was, I believed at the time that it was the voice of St. Dominic saying, promote the rosary, and you will reach more people than I ever did. And you will... I can't remember the exact wording, but the idea was that I have to promote the rosary. It's needed now more than ever, and I will be more successful at it than he ever was. And wow. I kind of dismissed that as, you know, concupiscence, thinking, you know, maybe I'm just imagining. But I took it seriously, and I noticed, and people notice, that whenever I talk about Mary or talk about the rosary, I'm very effective at it. and she's the winning ticket. I've seen people's lives absolutely, radically, undeniably changed through the rosary and through Mary. And so it is the devotion for today. So I feel very passionately about it.
So what's the whole point of promoting the rosary? Like why should I pray the rosary? It seems like it's just vain repetition. It seems like it's incredibly boring sometimes.
I agree.
Why should I do it?
I want to be very clear. I find it very boring. Oh. Never do I pray the rosary, at least not in many, many years. Maybe in the beginning when I first started to, God was giving me some graces and making me feel good about my life. But I am very dry when I pray the rosary. I want to make that clear. It's not fun. It's like exercising. A lot of times you don't want to do it. After you're done, you're like, yeah, I feel good. I'm glad I had this workout, or I'm thankful that I got on my knees and I prayed the rosary. So I want to make that very clear. But I have discovered, let's start back. Let's take a couple steps back. Our Lady is perfect. She's the perfect woman. She's Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom. She's efficient. She doesn't waste any time. When Our Lady speaks, Our Lady says something, she cuts to the point. And being efficient, she always tries to do many things with as little work as possible. So if Our Lady's saying to St. Dominic, I have a devotion that will convert sinners, that will basically be the key that unlocks all the doors, then it will be the key that unlocks all the doors. If Our Lady's saying, you need help, this is what I'm going to give you. And if she's repeated it at Lourdes, she repeated it at Fatima, she repeated it at Akita. If that's what Our Lady's going to give us, I can assure you that she's the best evangelist. All the efforts that we take to try to convert people are wasted. And so I want to start off by saying it's the key that opens all of the doors. It unlocks the door for a greater love for the Eucharist. It unlocks the door for a greater love for confession and being open to confessing. It helps us to grow in willpower and in grace. It helps us to have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. It helps in absolutely every single way. Many men, especially in women too, they're so used to giving in to their passions. They're so used to just saying yes to any whim or emotion. By praying the rosary and forcing yourself to do it, it builds up willpower. It's a sacrifice and it's a prayer, and it helps you to have a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ, a greater love for Jesus Christ. And if it's the only devotion you have, it's the only devotion you need. Because it's again, Our Lady's so wise. It's sacred scripture. Sacred scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when you're praying with sacred scripture, we know that the Holy Spirit will inspire us. The Lord will speak to us through sacred scripture. So that's part one. It's a meditation on the life of Jesus Christ, which is amazing and mystical in ways that meditating on anybody else's life. Like, I can think about the life of Abraham Lincoln and appreciate his life and what he stood for. But when you meditate on the life of Jesus Christ, there's a mystical encounter that happens, a friendship and a love that develops that doesn't happen in any other method. It also opens you up to contemplation, because it's important, even when we're praying the rosary, that we remain docile and we remain open, because Our Lady, being the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
What does that mean? Remain docile, remain open.
So the Lord will tug on your heart when you're praying the rosary. Answers to questions will be made known. Whenever I pray, I try to have a pen and paper somewhere near me, because things that I've been worried about or wondering about, the answer will come usually when praying the rosary, mainly because, again, it's the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit inspired. It's sacred scripture. It's the life of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean it's going to feel good, but answers will come. Graces will be given.
Well, you know, one of the things that whenever I started praying the rosary every day was actually I started praying four rosaries a day by the spurring of yourself.
I appreciate
that. And you and so I told you, okay, I will pray four rosaries a day. And from that, sometimes I'm like, oh, I already prayed two rosaries. That is more than enough. It's just a devotion. If I don't do it, I'm not committing a mortal sin.
Right.
But then I remember, oh yeah, I told Gabe that I would do four rosaries a day, every day. So I'm going to do it just out of obligation and out of obligation to Our Lady, because I told her I would do four rosaries. So I forced myself to do it. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just want this rosary to be over. But you know, every time I do it, it's always worth it at the end. even if afterwards I'm like, I have no consolations or anything like that, I just, the satisfaction of knowing that I made an obligation to Our Lady and I fulfilled that obligation is satisfying in a way.
Well, so I wanted to add to that. So Our Lady makes certain promises about the rosary. She promises that those who are faithful to it will receive signal graces. They will be protected against the wickedness and snares of the devil and all these various promises. And so the devil is actually trying to get at us a lot more than we probably realize. We go throughout our day, and maybe if something extraordinary happens and a statue falls off your desk, you'd be like, oh, that was the devil. But the devil does not want to be known that he's working on us. And sometimes he'll put little ideas in our head that will spark our weaknesses. So for example, if a man struggles with lust, he can put an idea in the head saying, hey, you know, why don't you check out sports? Knowing that on sports ESPN, there's girls volleyball. And then that triggers something in you that sparks lust. He also knows if we have anxiety or we worry, and he can put a little thought in our head, hey, you really can't trust God. You have financial problems. And then you start worrying about it and it drags you down this spiral. And I have that problem where I worry about a lot of things. And I have found that when I pray all of the mysteries of the rosary, Our Lady protects me from those things a lot of the times. And sometimes I'll make excuses for myself. Let's say my goal is to pray four, or I feel, and again, it's not like these are my personal goals. I feel like this is something that really God wants, particularly for me if I'm going to be promoting it. And so one day, let's say I want to pray only three. I've had a long day, Blessed Mother. I'm so tired. I have to get up really early in the morning. And I'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I can't sleep. And then it's always on the days that I haven't, or 3 o'clock in the morning. I just don't want to sound, people think I'm being a fanatic if I say three. Okay, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't sleep. And then I pray the rosary and I fall asleep like a baby. Mm. On days that I pray it, and I pray them all, I sleep so well.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because my mom actually had something similar. She, a couple years ago, she decided to pray the four rosaries a day. And one day she was telling me sometime when I came home from school, she goes, you know, the weirdest thing happened. I prayed one rosary yesterday, and then I went to bed, and I could not sleep the entire night. And I was like, maybe God wants me to pray the rosary. And I was like, okay, but I'm not going to do it. So she was being really stubborn about it. She turned over and was like, I'm going to go back to bed. She turned it over, couldn't sleep. And she said she ended up not praying the rosaries and stayed up the entire night. So she
Very nice, mom.
Ever since, she has continued to pray the four rosaries a day. But yeah, she said the entire night she didn't sleep a single minute that entire night, and she woke up for the next day without ever having gone to sleep.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Some people, and sadly, I've even heard priests kind of ridicule it. Like, so one time I heard a priest say, "Oh, you didn't. You're in here in confession. You committed masturbation. You looked at pornography because you didn't." And the penitent will say, "I know, it's because I didn't pray my rosaries." The priest say, "Don't blame your sins on the Virgin Mary," and it's like you don't understand. I had so many struggles personally, and when I prayed the rosary, it's not that there's not temptation, because temptation comes from the flesh. We get temptation from the world, the flesh, and the devil. By praying the rosary, the devil aspect that makes you feel like you're almost doing things against your will, or the temptation is so strong that you can't bear it, prayer is effective. You ask help from the Mother of God, she's going to give it to you. And if the rosary is in full, all the mysteries, because I didn't just come up with this on my own. St. Louis de Montfort, if you were to read his book, The Secret of the Rosary, several times says it encourages to pray all of the mysteries of the rosary, and there are special graces given with it. And so if that's true, special graces do come, and special graces do help you. And if you find that you prayed all the mysteries and you stop committing the sins of masturbation, or at least not to the degree that you used to, and then there's this correlation that when you don't, you're open to the attacks of the devil, then, you know, I wouldn't ridicule that. I've seen remarkable, remarkable conversion. Some of my friends have come to me and said, I have this problem. Please help me. What is your advice? I say, my brother, you need supernatural help. You need the help from the Blessed Mother. Try this. That'll take too long. And I was like, yeah, maybe you don't have time to commit the sins you're doing. But then they try it. And as long as they have the help of the Mother of God, they are strong. The temptations are still there. You're never going to escape temptation. That's part of growing in the spiritual life. God wants us to be able to overcome temptation. But when it's beyond our own strength, God gives the grace if we ask for it, if we're willing to pray. And it's a great act of humility to be so desperate to get out of sin that you pray four rosaries a day. That's a great act of humility because you're saying, God, help me. I'll do anything. And so God honors that humility. Sometimes the Lord allows us to fall into sin to keep us from falling into pride, which is a greater sin than lust. But I've seen remarkable conversions.
So you keep telling me that you hear all these conversions and everything and all these things. What stories do you know? Can you tell me any stories about conversions because of the rosary?
I'm going to make a video that I'm going to release, God willing, soon, and hopefully you'll be in it, about, you know, testimonies of the rosary. But I've known a kid who started using drugs from when he was in the seventh grade, and he started praying four rosaries a day. I actually just talked to him yesterday, and he told me that he really believes that God is calling him to be a priest.
Wow.
And he's only in high school. I deal with the high school youth, and there's a couple of them that are praying at least four rosaries a day, and they have a special bounce to their step. They have a special confidence that you know, you don't see in the other teenagers. So the miracles that I've seen are all moral miracles. Mm. I have had a friend who not even 6 months ago was on drugs, getting high, meeting girls off of dating apps, hooking up with them. And he was having diabolical obsession where his mind was just flooded with sinful things. He started praying four rosaries a day. He used to hate going to mass. Mass was boring. Confession, oh, I don't want to have to go to confession. Now he prays four rosaries a day. He goes to mass almost every day. He's making a daily holy hour. He's leading a Bible study. All of his friends that were in this group of friends that they were getting drunk and doing all these things, he's meeting with them weekly, talking to them about the rosary, going to confession. The old person is dead. So conversions.
And you know, those are the greater miracles.
It's a greater miracle.
Yeah. They talk about, the saints talk about there's two kind of miracles. There's the miracles of the world, of flesh, where there's healing, that kind of miracle. And there's miracles of the soul, of conversions. And those are the greater miracles.
I agree.
Yeah.
I consider my apostolate, I know it's not a miracle, but I consider it a miracle. The fact that I'm nobody. Like, we're in my office right now. It is, I don't know, 13 feet by 8 feet. And somehow, through the mercy of God, we're able to reach people all over the world. And, somebody had sent me a message recently that her poor husband was struggling with a particular sin. The wife found out about it. Her heart was broken. It just caused such devastation. He was struggling with this so badly. This is like not even 6 months ago. Again, the power of the rosary. She says, what can my husband do? He's desperate. And I said, he needs to start praying the rosary. If he really wants to show you that he's going to be a man, that he's going to stand up and be a good father, tell him that you forgive him, but you need him to step up and pray four rosaries a day to show that he's sincere. And since then, he's entered the Catholic Church. He went through the RCIA program. He's praying his four rosaries a day. And everybody in his church, he knelt down for communion, for his first communion. He bought a giant nativity scene. There's the biggest nativity scene I ever, she sent me a picture, the biggest nativity scene I ever saw. People are driving by, leaving them cakes, crying in front of the yard because it's so beautiful. It's a huge nativity scene. And he took his son to get a haircut, and he had them shave JMJ in the back of the kid's head. This guy, he's not the same guy anymore. But people have been convinced that, like, to pray the rosary is only to pray, you know, 5 decades, 50 Hail Marys. That's the children's rosary. So yes, it's good. It's better than nothing. It's not even a venial sin if you don't pray the children's rosary. But by praying all of the mysteries, you're being opened up to the power of heaven because it's boring. The Blessed Mother is a true mother. She knows how to get her children to do things when they don't want to do them. So she has all of these promises and all of these favors to those who pray the rosary because it's so difficult. She knows that we need it. And the little graces that we get are just kind of like a little bit of like a piece of candy. It's like, honey, if you go do this, I'll give you a little candy. So Our Lady offers us a little sweetness. We don't do it for the sweetness, but Sometimes dangling that carrot in front of the donkey is what it takes to get it to walk. So I've heard of incredible changes in people's lives.
Right. So it's better if someone pray the rosary purely out of love for Our Lady and
of course,
our Lord.
Definitely.
But it's for some people and for all people, really, for at least for the beginning, we need to start with we want the promises, we want the graces, we want to get out of our own sin. We have these selfish desires, and that spurs us to do something. And then later we can develop into that love of God and love of Our Lady.
It's human nature to seek self-interest. Anytime anybody prays, it's hard not to do it out of some sort of self-interest. Mm-hmm. Many times people begin a great conversion in their life because they're faced with extraordinary suffering, and then they call upon God. God takes that. The great G.K. Chesterton said that if something is worth doing, then it's worth doing at least very poorly. It is better to do something poorly than to not do it at all. And a lot of people think when they pick up the rosary, they pick and they try to pray the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and they say, I'm not good at this. It's so dry. I don't meditate. I don't see visions of God. I can't imagine what's happening. Guess what? That's normal. If you think about the rosary, it's vocal. It's meditative. Even St. Louis de Montfort would acknowledge that the human mind can only focus on one thing at a time. So you can either focus on the words or you can focus on meditating on the mystery. There's no one set way to do it. And if at the end of our life we were to be in a court and the devil were to be there and he were to say, Blessed Mother, Gabriel prayed 100 rosaries, but all of those rosaries were very poor. You know what the Blessed Mother will say? Did he pray the rosary? And the devil would say, yes, but, and then she would say, did he pray the rosary? And the devil would say, yes, but he, and then she would say, did he pray the rosary? Yes. Okay. Obviously, it's better to do it with great devotion, great love, but we can't forget that our feelings and our emotions are not love. Act of the will is love. I make an act of the will to pray when I don't want to. I make an act of the will to get up early and go to work so that my children will have food on the table. I don't have to feel it in my heart. I don't have to have butterflies when I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. What matters is I do it, and that's what makes me a good father. Praying your prayers when you don't want to is what makes you a good child of God, a good child of the Virgin Mary. And let me add one more thing to this. Can I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
Something that I have recently discovered. Something that's so powerful that I've never imagined before in my life how powerful this is. So Marian devotion is key. It's intrinsic to being a good Christian. We have to have a relationship with Our Lady. Our goal should be to give our lives completely over to Jesus so that no longer I live, but He lives in me. And the best, most efficient, most effective, most holy way to do that is through the Virgin Mary, 100%. I have recently discovered the power of devotion to Saint Joseph. And this has really helped. And this is, you're like, why is this related to the rosary and the Virgin Mary? It is the role of Saint Joseph. It was his vocation. And I believe that what was on earth is in heaven. It was his job to provide for the needs of the Holy Family, for the child Jesus, for the Virgin Mary. It was his job to protect the Virgin Mary, to protect her purity, to protect the child Jesus. Some even called him the savior of the savior, because when King Herod wanted to kill Jesus, Joseph saved him. And myself, I was an only child, I mentioned. I had a great relationship with my mother. My mother had all female friends. I was lacking a good male father figure in my life. I have recently opened my heart to Saint Joseph, and I have never in my life experienced so many graces, so many answered prayers. He's not failed me a single time. And I have noticed a greater strength and willpower in my own life that I'm also adding in my rosary, Chaste Heart of Saint Joseph, pray for me. Any needs I have, I ask them of Joseph. I'm still Marian. I'm still 100% Totus Tuus Maria. But when I need something, I go to Joseph, because when Mary needed something, she went and asked Joseph.
Is there a contradiction between having a devotion to Saint Joseph, Our Lady, and between them two and Our Lord?
Not at all. They're all focused on Jesus. But a lot of times Christians get focused only on Jesus, and maybe they're well-intentioned and they think, well, I don't want to distract from Jesus. But we are a family, We have a spiritual mother. We have a spiritual father. God is our true father, our creator, our redeemer, our sanctifier. And Jesus Christ, we are called to be another Christ. He took on human flesh to identify with us, and we identify with him most perfectly when we love our mother, we love our father. The only desire of the Virgin Mary is to greater love her son. And so somebody asked me, because I always say, at least amongst my peer group, I say, I only want to do the will of Mary. And my friend said, what about the will of God? And I said, yes, the will of Mary and the will of God are the same. But God has willed that if you go through Mary, you will do his will to a greater degree. So let's say, for example, it is God's will that I make a treehouse in my backyard. Very good. Do that. If I go to the Virgin Mary and I say, Blessed Mother, help me to make this treehouse in the backyard, it is God's will that she will give me special inspirations to do it in a way that is better and more pleasing than if I just did it saying, God, what is your will? But by going through Mary, there, it's God's will. He has designated, look, these are special favors that Mary's going to be able to give out. She's the mediatrix of all grace. I want this honor for my mother. And Mary wants, she knows her son. Yes, her son would be happy with a cake, but she knows her son loves strawberries on the cake. So yes, he'll have a cake. Let's put some strawberries on there. So Our Lady's always seeking the best interests of her son and in a way that is so pleasing and so beautiful.
That's a great analogy. I really like that because the idea is that, yeah, if you ask Christ what he wants, because Christ is so humble, he's going to tell you, this is what I want, and leave it at that. But if you ask Our Lady, because she's a good mother, she's going to tell you the very all the details of how her son wants it done. That's such a great analogy.
That's right.
I love it. So what is the threat of not loving Our Lady enough? Or what is the threat of loving Our Lady too much?
There's no threat to loving Mary too much. Jesus, God, is love, and pure love cannot be outdone with our natural love, is divine love. He loved his mother more than any person could ever imagine. And even more so, Saint Joseph, who loved God. So this is even better analogy. Saint Joseph loved Jesus so much, but yet he gave himself completely to the Virgin Mary. His love for the Virgin Mary, St. Joseph's totus tuus Maria, did not take away from his complete dedication to his only son, his foster son, whom he considered his true son, Jesus. Now, there is a great, great, great danger to not loving Our Lady enough. One, because we don't have a greater enough appreciation for the handiwork of God. It's like God's this great, beautiful artist, and we don't take care to appreciate his most beautiful creation. Also, I like to think of the analogy, you're walking in a bad neighborhood. There are bad people all around you. They intend to do harm to you. That's the devil and the evil angels. If I was walking in a bad neighborhood where I knew people wanted to kill me, you can be assured that I would take safety precautions. Well, the Virgin Mary is destined by God to crush the head of the serpent. And I personally believe that with a devotion to the Virgin Mary, she will help you to crush the head of the serpent in your life and also in other people's lives. This is a devotion for priests. Sometimes priests will say, I do my liturgy of the hours. I don't need to pray the rosary. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me so much because I've noticed that it is also those same men who don't preach on sin or hell or the consequences of hell. And I attribute this to a lack of devotion to the Virgin Mary, whose charism, whose gift it is to crush the head of the serpent. So I believe, especially priests and fathers, whose role it is to say no to Satan. Where did Adam fail in the garden? Adam failed in getting in the face of Satan and saying no to him and allowing Eve to fall. So in this case, the analogy will be priests in the church. So the priests need to get in the face of Satan, who's threatening the members of the body of Christ. But the charism and the grace is going to come from she who has been given the authority from God to crush the head of the serpent. So by priests praying the rosary more frequently, Our Lady, whose job it is to crush the head of the serpent, will share her grace with her priests, with the husbands, with the family members, and will help them to see how the serpent is encroaching upon the people of God. And in the case of the fathers in the home, who is the domestic church, she too will help them to crush the head of the serpent.
So let's run with this idea, because I hear this quite often. People always say, oh yeah, the rosary was created as a way to, so that simple people be able to participate in the divine office. So, I mean, the divine office is ideal. And then you have the little office of Our Lady, or right, the Psalter of Our Lady, which is the rosary.
Yes.
So in that case, the divine office you should do, that's great. That's better. And the rosary, well, that's just for simple people.
Simple people can have extraordinary holiness. I know many simple people who are extraordinarily holy, and I would not be surprised if when we die and we go to the various places reserved for us in heaven based on the merits and based on the graces of God, that the simple people will have the highest places in heaven. St. Francis of Assisi is with the seraphim, and he was a simple man. He wasn't even a priest. He was a deacon, and he did not go to a great university. And there's a great threat for those who are intellectually inclined to be all head and not enough heart. And one of the promises of the rosary is that those who pray the rosary every day devoutly will have the light of God, will be inspired by the Holy Spirit with the divine wisdom. St. Thomas Aquinas was said that he knew more because what he got from prayer than from what he got from reading books. Padre Pio was so wise, so powerful, and that came from prayer. Study is good. It's the truth. Divine theology is very good, but prayer is very important. Through prayer, God can work miracles of the intellect. And don't think that because you pray the rosary, it's only for simple people, because at the heart of the rosary is sacred scripture, and sacred scripture is the backbone of true and orthodox theology.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And so the other problem I have is thinking about some people, like, sometimes I struggle with the idea that how can anyone be saved without Our Lady? And because we have the title of Our Lady as co-redemptrix,
right,
of mediatrix of all graces.
Yes.
And thinking about people who dismiss Our Lady, people who obstinately refuse to pray the rosary, or even Protestants who insult Our Lady and blaspheme Our Lady, I don't see how how people can hope for salvation when they don't have a devotion to Our Lady.
I have noticed in all of those cases, and I will add to that, people who will say, do not pray the luminous mysteries, do not. And they'll say, do not pray that. I'm specifically talking about the case where they say, do not do it. All of these people I've noticed are very proud, and they don't want to hear your explanation, and they don't care. And to be hostile to the Mother of God and to say that she was an ordinary woman and to be very argumentative, and it's a trademark of Satan. Maximilian Kolbe would say that the evil spirit, the serpent, hates Our Lady above all else because she crushes the head of the serpent. And that's why more often than not, if you meet a Protestant, God bless them, there's very many good Protestants. I love some very good Protestants. But they will be hostile towards Our Lady. Maximilian Kolbe will say in his Roman conferences that the reason for this is because they've been following the father of lies. Hmm. And I personally believe that Mary, as mediatrix of all grace, is the key to converting Protestants, the key to converting Muslims, the key to converting anybody. Again, she's a mediatrix of all grace. If you can instill in the hearts of men a devotion to Our Lady, naturally the conversion to a greater love for Jesus will come. There's something very unique about a mother. Only a mother can give birth to a child. Only a mother can feed the child with her very body. And so I really believe that God has chosen his mother to feed his children, whether they know it or not. And if a Protestant is saved, if a Muslim is saved, they're all saved through Jesus Christ, but they all receive that grace of salvation through the Virgin Mary. And to be hostile to her, to speak ill of her, is not only sinful, but it's also foolish. Devotion to Mary is the sweetest thing that you can have. because, and if you think about it, a mother's milk is like the sweetness to her children. It's just, it's the most beautiful devotion you can have. I can't imagine anything better besides the Eucharist.
So that goes to another good point, talking about the luminous mystery. Yes. So whenever you say pray all the mysteries, you don't mean just the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious, correct?
Right. So let's start from the beginning. The Virgin Mary, not the beginning of time, but the beginning of the devotion of the rosary. The Virgin Mary gave to St. Dominic the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. And you could have reference to this in sacred scripture. I believe it's 153 fish were caught with the nets. And then those 153 would correspond to how many Hail Marys are in the original.
And you have the 150 Psalters.
The 150 Psalms, yes. Hail Marys. I acknowledge this. It is perfect, and it's absolutely necessary. The way the Virgin Mary gave it to St. Dominic was absolutely correct at that time in history. And if you pray all of those mysteries, very good, very good. It's good for all the reasons mentioned below, because it's sacred scripture, because it's meditation upon the life of Christ, because Our Lady asked to, because it's going to the Virgin Mary for intercession. Now, we are living, and many saints prayed all the mysteries of the rosary. It wasn't just St. Louis de Montfort. It wasn't just St. Dominic. It was Pope Pius V, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Francis de Sales, St. Francis Xavier. Padre Pio blew everybody out of the water.
Praying hundreds of rosaries a day.
I don't know how he did it, but basically, I would say every great saint had a devotion to Mary. Obviously, it's a necessity, and the greatest devotion to Mary is the rosary, and the greatest thing to do with the rosary is to pray all of the mysteries. Now, we are living in times worse than those of the great saints. I would argue the worst times in human history. And where are we struggling with? We're struggling with same-sex marriage. We're struggling with transgender. We're struggling with living a life of purity. We're struggling with the very meaning of what it means to be a man and a woman. We're struggling with devotion to the Most Holy Eucharist. There's so many sacrilegious communions. People are receiving communion irreverently. There's a rise of satanic masses. People are committing desecration by receiving communion in the hand and letting particles go to the floor. We're having a crisis in the priesthood. We're having a crisis in preaching authentic Christianity. All topics that are covered in the Luminous Mysteries, because the Luminous Mysteries is the baptism of our Lord. It is the wedding feast of Cana, which reminds us of the sacrament of holy matrimony. It's the proclamation of the kingdom of God, which we all have a moral obligation to do in our own little way. It's the transfiguration, and it's the institution of the Most Holy Eucharist and the sacred priesthood. All of these things need to be considered, and they have all of the hallmarks of things of what makes the rosary beautiful. Is it sacred scripture? Yes. Are they Hail Marys? Yes. Our Fathers? Beautiful. Is it beneficial to do? Absolutely. So that's why I said earlier, those who say do not do it are being very proud, because meditating on the life of Christ is always good. Praying Hail Marys are always good. Praying the Our Father is always good. Now, John Paul II added and recommended, or encouraged, you could say, the praying of the Luminous Mysteries. And people who are of one stripe will say, luminous, that's like being Illuminati. That's New Age.
Or luminous, like the Satan.
Like Satan. Like Satan,
the light bearer.
Lucifer, exactly. Hey, excuse me, my angry, proud friend. Did Jesus Christ not say that I am the truth and I am the light? I am the light of the world? Okay, so maybe he chose the word luminous, not because of some hidden Illuminati agenda, but because Jesus is the light of the world, and it will shed light on the public ministry. Because yes, we must meditate, and it's good to think about the birth of Christ in the early years. It's good to think about his death, his passion. It's good to think about the resurrection. But you know what's very important? The public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a fuller picture. And if Our Lady is docile, and if Our Lady honors the Pope, which I'm pretty sure she does, she would say, hey, yes, those who honor and pray more will get more. I once heard a great preacher, I think his name's Father Michael Rodriguez, and he said that objectively speaking, graces are given in prayer based on the quality, the purity of intention, and the quantity. Objectively speaking, God can do what he wants of the prayer. So if we're looking at this objectively, and we have a person who prays three mysteries, the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. And then objectively speaking, we have somebody who prays the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious, and the luminous in their proper chronological order. Objectively speaking, if they have the same purity of intention, if they have the same quality of prayer, the quantity is greater, and therefore there's more grace. And that's why it's so bad to tell somebody, don't pray. That's like me going down the street, somebody's praying with the Bible. Don't pray with the Bible. The Virgin Mary never said pray with the Bible. Then people will say, well, St. Dominic had an apparition of the Virgin Mary. How do you know that Our Lady didn't appear to John Paul II? You don't know that. How do you know she didn't appear to me? I wish she would. No offense, I know we're not supposed to ask for that, but I can't help it. It's human nature. They say she's very beautiful and that your heart will explode with joy. I can't help but desire that. How do you know that the Virgin Mary did not appear to me and tell me to promote all the mysteries of the rosary? You don't know that. So that's not a very good qualifier on what should or should not be done. So we have to look at what makes the rosary so special. And I have from experience, people and myself included, when I pray three rosaries, it's good, but I experience personally something greater that happens in my soul when I pray all of the mysteries, when I have a fuller picture of the life of Jesus Christ. My son is a young boy now, but when he was 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, now he's 11, he knew more about the life of Jesus Christ than many people, and he's thought more about the life of Jesus Christ than many people because he had the habit of praying all of the mysteries of the rosary every day. And no, I did not force him to. It's a choice that he made on his own, just in case people are like, he's a psycho dad. No, I'm not a psycho dad. I'm a good dad. Why? Because the Virgin Mary is helping me. All right.
Okay. Anyways. So I really like with the what you're talking about, the luminous mysteries, about how they are the perfect answer for the problems we have today. The wedding of Cana and our problem with divorce. We start off with no-fault divorce, yep. Then to same-sex marriage, and now transgenderism. So the family's under attack. Yep. The last attack of the devil will be on the family. So that's the wedding feast of Cana. Wonderful. Praise God.
It's Jesus' first. The wedding feast of Cana alone is packed with so much theological depth that it alone is worth meditating upon and having the Hail Mary ringing in your ears. Why do I say that? Because at the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus, one, does his first miracle. He calls Mary woman, which is a parallel from the book of Genesis where Adam calls Eve woman, and Eve tempts Adam to do the first sin. Mary, the new Eve, in a way tempts Jesus, although it's not temptation, encourages Jesus to work his first glorious act. So there's so many parallels, so many beautiful things. It's the first moment where Jesus does a public miracle and his public ministry really begins to explode. It alone, there's so much richness there. The idea that when people say, where in the Bible does it say that we need to ask Mary for something? Well, we see there Mary's powerful intercession. Mm-hmm. It wasn't God's will that a miracle be done that day. He said, it is not my hour. And yet through Mary's example of persistence in prayer, we see Jesus changing his mind. So there's so much packed into the wedding feast of Cana that it alone can hold the whole argument for the luminous mysteries. But then we have, of course, the Eucharist, as I mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have the proclamation of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I had someone recently tell me, because I was talking about how we all need to be evangelizing and things like that. And they're like, I don't think that God wants me to evangelize. Other people can evangelize, no. But I think I'm called to, you know, just talk to people and just be friends with people, you know? And I was like, no, you have the Great Commission.
That's right.
And everyone needs to go out and preach the gospel.
That's right.
And meditating on the proclamation of the kingdom of God. I never thought about it that way, but when you said it, I was like, wow, that's a good point. Yep. So yeah, all the mysteries and I never thought about that. That's really great.
And so what if Our Lady was saving this for now? What if she knew that doing four right off the bat, people would be like, nope, too much. But now desperate times call for desperate measures. And even if, let's say she's not, let's say she's like, yeah, I didn't really want that, but the Pope said anyways, don't you think that Our Lady will honor our good intention, trying harder to be a good, faithful child of Mary? Wow. So I fully recommend it. And it's very important that you have a strategy, though. I don't encourage you to pray all of the mysteries of the rosary all at one time. You'll get a headache. It's a lot mentally. It takes up a lot of time if you're doing it all in one sitting. I encourage people to break it up throughout the day, to pray a rosary in the morning, to pray a rosary before lunch, to pray a rosary sometime in the evening, pray the rosary before bed. And you will find that you have more than enough time. plenty of time to get it done. But you have to have in your mind, before this hour, I need to get it done. And then if you don't, what I personally do is I punish myself. I will pray a penitential rosary with my arms outstretched just as a reinforcement, because one of the ways that the devil works is that he finds the path of least resistance, so that he knows that if I can just get Gabriel to save all of his rosaries to right before bed, then the next day he'll do the same thing and he might just say, you know, I'm too tired tonight. And then, and next thing you know, I'm only praying three or two or one or not, none at all. Somebody once said, I can't even pray one rosary a day. Well, if your goal is to pray one and you fail, that means you prayed zero. But if your goal is to pray four and you fail, you've at least prayed one or two. So I can assure you, if you have a goal of four or even three, you'll find that you pray one or two. My personal experience is that people who pray one and they're trying to go up to four, I encourage them to try and go with three. Like once you get three, then Mary will be the one who initiates, because you've got a flood of grace coming in. Mary will be the one who initiates and pokes you and prods you and is like, yeah, I think you need to do just one more. And you will notice that when you're praying three, you'll be like, one more is not that big of a deal. St. Louis de Montfort gives people permission to pray the rosary on their way to work. He gives people permission to pray the rosary if they're doing work and it's mindless activity. Obviously, the best way to pray the rosary is on your knees before the Blessed Sacrament. But again, I like the analogy of Mother's Day. If the best thing for me to do on Mother's Day would be for me to take my mother out to dinner, tell her how much I love her, all these things. But I can't all the time. Sometimes I have to call her. Sometimes I have to send her a card. And it's better to do something than nothing at all. So yes, the ideal is what we should strive for. And I found that once you get to that number, however you get to that number, Our Lady will purify your intention and will help to correct you. She's a good mother. She'll lay down the law when she has to. So
yeah, absolutely. I found actually praying four rosaries a day was easier than praying one rosary a day.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but if I like, because I was told by some people, oh, just pray a decade in the morning, a decade later, and you'll get through the rosary throughout the day. That was incredibly difficult for me for some reason. Now I'd knock out a decade of the rosary in just any time I'm walking around. I'll be walking to class and I'll just like, okay, well, I'll just do a decade right now. I'm going to just do a decade heading to class or do a rosary before class starts. It becomes way easier. And then you find yourself sometimes praying more than four rosaries a day.
Yeah.
Like yesterday I had to go to some pep rally and I really didn't want to go. And there were cheerleaders there, and cheerleaders aren't notorious for wearing the most modest outfits. Oh,
of course not.
So while the cheerleaders were performing,
it's opposite.
I was just looking at the base of the chair in front of me, and I just knocked out an entire rosary while they were doing their cheer.
And all of a sudden, one of the girls ran off and came back with a giant trench coat.
that would be if I was trying to embellish a story. Then all of a sudden, they changed their outfit. No, I'm kidding. No, but yeah. So
that's true.
And so, yeah, and that day, I had already prayed four rosaries that day.
Some people don't even conceive that you could pray more than one. So I told you about that boy who told me yesterday that he was going to be a priest. Yesterday, he also told me, he's like, Gabe, at the retreat, I prayed 20 rosaries on Saturday. And I was like, dang, Padre Pio is here. But again, like if you're praying one, you would never think, what should I do with my free time? Mm-hmm. 20 rosaries?
Yeah.
I don't know how well he prayed them. God bless him. We need the prayer power. So yeah, that's the kind of priest we need there.
Absolutely. It's kind of surprising because, once you start praying it more and more, just like you said, like, what do you do with your free time? And currently, I'm doing Exodus 90 in yours as well.
Yes.
And I'm going to do an episode on Exodus 90 eventually with my Exodus 90 group. But what I found is I have a lot because even because we're allowed to listen to Catholic music, but I decided I'm not going to just carry headphones around anymore.
Yeah.
And so as I'm walking around campus, I'm like, what do I do with this time between classes? I just pray. I knock out another decade here and there. Mm-hmm. And I end up finding myself just constantly praying. I'm praying without ceasing. So it's actually really surprising, like finding what you can do with your free time.
And to me, you're already very virtuous, but I'm sure you're growing in virtue because of that too.
I don't know about all that. Wow. Okay, so last thing I want to talk about is the reparation lifestyle you told about. There's a video on YouTube. What is it? Do you know the name of it?
It's called How to Save Souls.
How to Save Souls.
Also, I think I talked about it at your parish. It's called The Truth About Fatima.
Yes. The Truth About Fatima. Absolutely. That was that I invited you to come and give a talk. And you talked about the reparation lifestyle.
Yes.
And I was like, wow. And so many people recently, the past few days, I've talked to a number of people where they were like, oh, my grandma's a Buddhist, or oh, my so-and-so is a Protestant, or oh, my so, like, how do I save them? How do I get to bring them home? Tell me about your reparation lifestyle.
Well, I didn't come up with it. So again, I learned this from that very holy priest that at that retreat, and I followed up with him a lot. But the basic teaching is this, that at Fatima, Our Lady revealed to Sister Lucia the first Saturday devotion. So you go to confession, you pray the rosary, you receive Holy Communion, and you meditate upon the life of Christ for 15 minutes with the rosary, in honor or in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So if you did that for five first Saturdays, so Saturday, the first of the month, the first Saturday of the month, five times in a row, then she promises you the grace necessary for your salvation. So the idea is that if you do that for your own soul, how much more could you get if you continue that practice, maybe for the rest of your life, you did the first Saturdays. We're living in horrible times. If you were in a spiritual combat, you would say that we're losing a lot of souls in the battle. Our team is going to win, but we're losing a lot of souls. And how can you make up for that? If you're going to win with a few people, your people have got to be fighting with greater firepower than the other people. When you were talking about praying 10 Hail Marys here or there, in my head I was imagining you're going against an army and you're shooting 10 bullets and then they're like, oh, there he is. So the devil's like, oh, heck no, we're going to take this guy down. But if you come out with full arms blazing, they think that there's a bunch of people firing at them. They're like, let's go, here comes Adrian. All right, so that's basically what the Communion of Reparation lifestyle is. We love Our Lady so much. If people were going to hell like snowflakes in 1917 because of the lifestyle, because of the fashions that were becoming introduced, 1917, they could not even imagine the type of crazy lifestyles, the type of licentiousness that is pervading our society. They could not even conceive of it. They couldn't conceive of changing the gender of a little child and that parents would be supporting this and that it would be legal and you're giving them all sorts of drugs.
And talking about taking away a child if they won't do it.
Exactly. That, and having people come into the library, transgender come into the library and teaching kids about that they didn't even imagine, they couldn't even imagine that. Maybe in a nightmare that would happen. And not only that, but if you just think about the sheer volume of pornography that is viewed on a daily basis, the amount of addiction, the amount of just so many sins, the number of abortions, it doesn't even compare to Portugal in 1917. You can't even put the two side by side. It's like a mountain versus a grain of sand. And so if that's happening and souls are going to hell because there's nobody to pray and do penance in 1917, we need firepower. There's nothing on this earth that will satisfy the longings of the human heart. So by living the Communion of Reparation lifestyle, I am convinced there's nothing. Our Lady has, again, what did I say earlier? Our Lady is efficient. Our Lady is powerful. She's not wasting any time. She knows what works. She talked about the first Saturdays to give us hope. If it only takes five Communion of Reparations to save my own soul, what if I did the Communion of Reparation lifestyle? Yeah, maybe for the rest of my life on Saturdays. But what if I did it every single day? Imagine a plenary indulgence every single day. If there's that much grace available for five times out of the year to save my soul, imagine how much grace is available if I did that, 20 times, 30 times as much for the rest of my life. Many people, they look at their children, The people who they love the most, they gave life to them, and they see their children addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, having so many family problems. There's nothing that they would rather see than their children go to heaven. If that's you, consider living the communion of reparation lifestyle. What wouldn't you sacrifice for your children? And I say it as if it's a difficult thing, but what are you doing? You're receiving the Lord of the universe. There's no greater gift. It's the best thing that could happen for your soul to receive Holy Communion every day. If we could see Jesus's face in the Eucharist, if we could see his glory, we would be crawling to church every single day. At the hour of our death, we'd be begging, God, I wish I would have gone to Mass more often. So Communion of reparation lifestyle for a daily practice would be to receive Holy Communion every day, to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament every single day. 15 minutes is what Our Lady asked for. I prefer an hour, a daily holy hour, but I understand that most people can't do that. But meditating upon the life of Jesus Christ 15 minutes, the best place to do that would be in front of Jesus Christ, really present in the Eucharist. To pray the rosary every single day, then it was considered just the five mysteries, but we're talking about a battle that we've got 10 versus a million. We can still win. Praying all the mysteries of the rosary. You don't have to do it. Again, this is not mandatory. This is if you want to put some weight on your shoulder, you want to carry some soldiers to safety. Daily communion, visits the Blessed Sacrament every day, daily rosary, and weekly confession or confession once every 2 weeks, at the very least, confession every month. I personally live by daily Mass, daily holy hour, daily rosary, weekly confession. If you're doing that, wow, grace is going to be, you know, and you're doing this in reparation for Our Lady, you've given your entire life over to Our Lady, she's going to do extraordinary things for you. Now, again, this is not a sin if you don't do this. You don't have to feel guilty if you don't. It's just, we know that that formula is valuable for saving souls. Multiplying that, you're going to get to heaven, you're going to die. Our Lady is going to be introducing you to a whole bunch of people that you don't even know or even know existed that you helped to save because they needed grace and Our Lady needed to get it from somewhere. She told the children of Fatima, you've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go, and they go there because there's nobody to pray and do penance. And who are you? You're like her little army. You're her most beloved children. You don't have to worry about any of your needs. You don't have to worry about the salvation of your family and friends because you are under the mantle of Our Lady. Nothing to worry about. Communion of reparation lifestyle. Very, very powerful.
So I heard this great story from a priest, and I can't remember who it was, but he was telling the story of this priest who, he was an atheist and he was raised an atheist. His mother was an atheist and he was, and he had a, I don't remember how, but he had a conversion because of Our Lady, and he became a very Marian, and then he ended up becoming a priest, and he was worried about the soul of his mother. And he was very concerned because she was very obstinate in her hatred for the church.
Wow.
And that she refused, she would insult the name of Our Lady. And he was like, he was devastated by the fact that she, he was like, my mother's going to go to hell.
Wow.
And so he would consecrate his mother to Our Lady. He said thousands of times, and wow, since from whenever he became a priest to the day she died, he said he consecrated her to Our Lady thousands of times. And he said at the moment, so he says that this happened later. He finds out later, about 6 years after her death, he continues to pray for his mother, continues to consecrate his mother to Our Lady. And 6 years after it, he had a vision where Our Lady told him this, what happened to his mother. And so what happened to his mother was that on her deathbed, she was there dying. And she was presented before her death. She had a vision, and she was presented with our Lord and our Lady. And the devil was there. And the devil was tempting her and was basically trying to drag her down. And our Lady turns to our Lord and says, "This one is mine. He was Ooh. Consecrated to me. She is my daughter, and she belongs to me. And you told me that I have the rights over these people, and I have the rights over them, and I claim my rights over this servant, this lady. She was consecrated to me by one of your priests, and because she was consecrated by one of your priests, you promised me that she would be mine." And so, at that moment, the lady was shown this, and she had a interior conversion. Wow. And she had a baptism of desire, because at that moment her conversion was so pure and so intense that if she would have survived, if she would have been brought back to life, she would have converted and lived the tenets of the Catholic faith. And our Lord knew that, and our Lady knew that, and she was saved because of it. And that story, I was like, oh my gosh, awesome. Just blown away. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I believe it 100%.
Yeah. And so that the idea of the communion of reparation lifestyle, like for people who have family who's not Catholic, people who have family who are obstinate in their sin, pray for them, and then pray for them after their death. Continue praying for them, because our God is outside of time. So he knows that you are going to pray that prayer tomorrow. He knew you were going to pray that prayer in a year from now. And so he can apply those prayers that you're going to say, and he can apply them to you, to the person that you love, to your loved one at the moment of their death. And that you don't know, you may not ever find out until you die. But your prayers for them 10 years down the road, could have been the prayers that our Lord revealed himself to them at the moment of their death and brought about their conversion and softened their heart.
And speaking of salvation, so I deal with like teenagers a lot. I put videos on the internet, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but it would be an insult like for anybody who's devoted to the Virgin Mary to go to hell. Like it'd just be an insult to Our Lady, no matter like, it's just, it would. St. Alphonsus Liguori, I like quoting this because it's true. He said that no child of Mary shall ever be lost. He doesn't say only the good children of Mary, only the bad children. If you're a child of Mary, her children will not be lost. I want to add to the communion of reparation aspect that it doesn't take that long. A daily mass is 30 minutes. Praying the rosary is about 20 minutes, 50 minutes. Visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, even if you only spent 15 minutes, that would make it, what, an hour and 5 minutes. It's an hour and 5 minutes of the day. To do specifically the communion of reparation lifestyle. Are there going to be days that you can't do it? Sure. Yeah. Something might come up and you can't do it. But again, it's better to do something poorly than not do it at all. Isn't it better to do that 10 times out of the month as opposed to say, oh, I could never do that every day? Yeah. But could you do it once a week? If you could do it for five first Saturdays, what if you did it every Saturday at least? You know what I mean? Like we have to stop Catholics, and this is not necessarily our fault, but sometimes the devil puts this idea in our head. We have to stop with the idea that if it can't be perfect, I shouldn't do it. No, do it poorly if you have to. That we have to remember, although poorly might be a judgment objectively, subjectively, that's the best I got. The lady with the widow's mite, that's all she had. Objectively, it wasn't very much, but that's all she had. And we see from scripture that the Lord honored that. Time is very short. Eternity is very long. We just have to take advantage of all of the graces that Our Lady has given us.
Awesome. That was great. That was wonderful. Yeah. So absolutely. Communion of reparation lifestyle. Pray for the people. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the conversion of sinners. We need to pray for a zeal for souls in our own lives, that we will weep and say, what will become of poor sinners, like St. Dominic. Yeah. So finally, I wanted to conclude with, where can people find out more about you? What reading recommendations do you have?
Such a nice
what
guy.
Recommendations, videos do you have?
Sure.
Tell me all about it.
So all of my work you can find at www.truefaith.tv. That's my website. I picked that website because it's easy to remember, and I was trying to give out the truefaith.tv because it's a bunch of videos. Everything will be there. I recommend subscribing and bell notifying to Gabi After Hours, and also—
How do you spell Gabi After Hours?
G-A-B-I, after, and then hours, on YouTube, because that's where I post most of my like better produced stuff. Sometimes people complain and like, you haven't posted in 4 weeks. I know, you know, making productions when you have a full-time job, actually one full-time job, and you're a parent, and you're trying to make weekly gospel reflections, and you're doing things, oh, it's so crazy. Like, it takes time to produce things that are well-produced. Book recommendations, you got to stick with the classics. I spoke to a dear friend of mine yesterday who's a Norbertine, who's living an extraordinary holy life. He was one of my former students. He was calling me on business, so it wasn't like a... like, how's it going type of thing, because they're not allowed to do that at this point in his vocation. But I said, you know my spirituality. If you could give me one piece of advice, what would it be? One thing. And he said, buy a copy of The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori and read it very slowly. So I have to plug that. The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort. Father Calloway has a very good book called The Champions of the Rosary. I personally really like the book Insegno Gesù, not necessarily for like reading material, but just going to it for inspirations. It's dedicated to priests, but I always get nuggets of inspiration. And anytime he talks about priests, I just ignore it or pass over it and or try to make it apply to my own life. I have a very active imagination, as you can tell. Other good books. I'm currently reading The Consecration to St. Joseph. It's a very powerful devotion. And I've found that the life of St. Joseph is just very powerful. It's a great devotion. So St. Joseph is my new thing.
Awesome. Yeah. Wonderful. Praise God. And then you also True Faith Talks. You have a bunch of talks there as well.
People don't like that. So this is the funny thing, because my assistant who works with me here in youth ministry, she used to love my videos. And she used to complain and say, the production doesn't matter. All that matters is you keep posting. And I'm like, really? Because I post weekly on True Faith Talks and nobody cares. So production does matter. And it does, because you can show these things. Like, my goal is to make videos for Catholic education, things that you can share with your family and friends. That's my main desire. But I am posting weekly. So True Faith Talks, yes.
There you go. And that's where you put the gospel reflections, correct?
That's gospel reflections. Sometimes I will post, I'm going to record this and post this there if it's usable. And also any lectures that I give. But I usually say the same thing as that lectures over and over again. So there won't be so many of those.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Mr.
Castillo.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks for being a good man. And thank you. So I have to say that there's no young man that I'm more impressed with than you. And I've often told you that I wish I had even a fraction of the faith and zeal for the faith that you have at this stage in my life. So keep up the good work. Keep praying your rosaries. You're going to be, amazing. You're like a little rocket ship. And right now you're about to break through the atmosphere as you, finish college and go on to whatever God has planned for you. And I pray for you every day, no matter what.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I need all the prayers I can get. And with that, we will conclude. You can email me with any questions, comments, or concerns, soapboxes, negativities, or positivities, or anything in between.
We don't want any negativities. Only good comments. Heart reacts only, folks. If you put a thumbs up or anything, a wow or whatever, we know you didn't listen to the very end. Heart reacts only. Share. Sorry. We're sensitive people. We've got ego too, We try not to, but our hearts, we don't take criticism very well. At least I don't.
So any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at fonsecaproduction@gmail.com. That's Fonseca, FONSECA production@gmail.com. And share this with anyone that you think needs to hear this, that who needs to have a conversions of family and friends. Share it with everybody, because everyone needs to hear the message of Our Lady. And so with that, we'll conclude with a Ave Maria.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Wait. For all of us modernists who don't speak Latin, let's pray one in English as well. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And you know what? And the prayer that you taught me that I love, and I do it all the time now, come Holy Spirit,
come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse.
Come Holy Spirit,
come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. And chaste heart of St. Joseph, pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
O juventutem, ne